following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Matters of the Heart, a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. More information about this study is available at www.refugefamily.com.
Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, that you know our innermost being. Lord, you know our thoughts. You know the motives of our heart. You know, God, that everything about us, Lord, you know those days and those times, Father, when we just feel like such a failure, like we just can't quite get it right, Lord. And yet you've told us that this is not all there is, that we do have a hope. We have a hope of a better life, a better everything. Lord, it might not be a better car. It might not be a better house or a better anything here on earth. But oh, what you have stored us up for us in heaven, Lord, just for the sight of you saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We thank you, Lord, for that word. We thank you, Father, that you have anointed us today. And Lord, I do pray for a fresh anointing right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would pour out upon us. Lord, that our ears would be open to what you have to say to us, Lord, and that I would hear what you're saying to us today. Lord, that our hearts and our eyes and our mind and our ears would be open to you, God, that you might receive the glory at the end of the day, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, and that when we see you face to face, Lord, I can't wait. I can't wait. I really am anxious to be with you, Lord. And I pray that you would do this work, Lord, and that you would have all the glory and praise and honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we're going to start with the last verse of chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What are we going to look at? Those things that are eternal, because this world is passing away. This world is passing away. You can talk about the poles melting and say, yes, the world's passing away. You can watch those pictures and see how things are changing. And yes, this world is passing away. Let's set our sight on the things that are eternal. Let's set our eyes on those things that are eternal. For we know, chapter 5, that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This tent that we live in. We always get a picture when we see of the tents. We get a picture of camping, don't we? And well, probably everybody in here has some funny story about the one time you went camping and all the stories about putting up the tent and how the water leaked into it and all these things that happened. I think, first of all, when I come to this thing with tents, I think of the tent cities that so many people are still living in tents temporarily. How temporary housing for them, living in these tents. And then I think about what tents do. This tent is old. I am telling you, this tent sags. You know how sometimes you get up in the morning when you're out camping and you just get that little, that it's right there. I looked in the mirror, yep. That's just looked like that tent that I saw. And you know, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, there's a cut in the tent and then the water's coming. How is that water coming in from under? Oh, man. And it's worn out. This tent is worn out. And where is that last, that corner of the tent, the stake is come out of the ground again. It's lost its foundation. It's lost its holding ability. I gotta go find, it's missing, it's completely missing. Where have I put it now? And this tent is passing away. And I'm so excited about it. I really mean that. I'm so excited because when this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house that's not made of with hands, eternal in the heavens. This house that I'm going to put on, this dwelling place that we are going to put on, is made by God, by the hands of God. The creator of my total being is going to give me something that's so much better than this. This hurts all the time. Some days, could I not hurt today? Well, no, you can't not hurt today because this is passing away. God says, I want to remind you that this world is not your home. I have something so much better for you. And we look and we think, oh, well, I'm going to have a body that's of a 30-year-old that's a size 6, and I'm going to have this, or I'm going to have this mansion that I'm moving into. No, this is the dwelling place. And when he gives us that dwelling place, we are going to be like him. That's where the dwelling place is, to be like Jesus. Oh, I can't wait for that. Eternal in the heavens, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life, that mortality would put on immortality. Why would I want to continue on forever in a body like this? Honestly, why would we want to live forever? There was a reason that when once Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they could not continue on forever in their sin. There had to be something, that price that had to be paid. And so they couldn't eat of the tree of life, because they would live forever in their sin, and God had to make sure that that didn't happen, that mortality would put on immortality and continue in sin. But because of what Jesus has done, because of who he is, because he has clothed us and he's given us a habitation that is of God, we have that eternal life. We have that eternal dwelling place. Mortality is swallowed up by life. Swallowed up by life. Swallowed up by, consumed by life. That life that only he can give. Now he who has prepared, verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. What is this thing that you're happen to be in? What is this thing that's going on in your life? This word of God says that he has prepared us for this very thing. He has prepared us. God himself, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. He has given us the Holy Spirit as that down payment, that just like this morning, the word leaves me. When you look for a house and it's earnest money. Is that what it's called? And you're showing them that you're really, really interested. And so that's what he does for us. But you know what he does that I see it more clearly than anything else? Is the Holy Spirit is that engagement ring. That engagement ring. And he said that I will be there for you to look at so that you can remember that Jesus himself promised you, church, that he would come for you, that your groom will come for you, and he will take you and you can be where he is. Can you imagine? I'm engaged to God, and I'm going to go live with him in his house at the appropriate time. As soon as his father says it's time for me to go, I get to go, and I get to spend the rest of my life with him. How exciting. How exciting to live our lives forever with Jesus, the lover of our souls. So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we're at home in this body, we're away from the Lord. No different from I'm married to Bill, but I'm still married to Bill, even though he's there and I'm here. We're absent one from another, but we're still married. We still have that commitment to one another. We are confident of that, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We're at home with him in our body. Verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. What is faith? Hebrews, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It is the thing of hope. And it is one of the main things that our society is losing quickly, is hope. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest strain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's where my hope is. That's where my hope is, in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we make it, we are confident, yes, well-pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We would like to leave here and be in his presence. And there are days when I am having the, you know, when my mom, my stepmom, when she passed away, it was on an Easter Sunday morning at about sunrise. And when we found her, she was laying on her pillow with her hands like this. And you know what? I just remember even back then saying, it's like the Lord said, I can't take it anymore. Come on, let's go. Just so excited for her to come and be with him. We are confident, yes, well-pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. She was present with the Lord because she belonged to him. And so therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be pleasing to him. Whether I am with him there or I am with him here, I want to be pleasing to God. I want to please him. When you truly love someone, don't you do everything you can to please them? I remember some of the stupid things I did to please Bill. You know, am I the only one? Don't you love the way speakers always say, well, am I the only one that does this thing? Well, because I want to feel so normal, but I'm not normal, and we all know that. But to be pleasing to him because I love him. I want to be pleasing to the Lord because I love the Lord. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And so we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that is, each one may receive that each may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In 1 Corinthians 3, let me try to remember exactly where it was at. In verse, starting in verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. He himself will be saved. What was this place of judgment that we're talking about here? It was called the Bema Seat. The Bema Seat was a place in the Olympiad that they would go by so that they could be rewarded for the things that they did. that wasn't a place where they went by and they said, well, I wish you would have run a little bit better. If only you would have picked up your feet or wore a different kind of pair of shoes, or if you would have done this right. Of course, I don't think they even wore shoes then, did they? But it was a place where you were rewarded for what you have done. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, even though those works are done and they get burned up because of they weren't pure before the Lord, you are still saved. What are we talking about in those works? We've all seen, because none of us have ever done it, but we've all seen people who do things because it needed to be done and someone had to do it, and I really don't want to do it, but I will. And so the attitude is so bad, but we go ahead and do it, and people look at us and think we're so wonderful because we did this thing, and we're thinking, oh, I am so wonderful because I did this thing. That's wood, hay, and stubble, and that will burn. We don't get rewards for that kind of attitude. Just like the girl at Starbucks doesn't get a reward for her attitude. I knew that was going to fit in here somewhere. But, yeah, let it go, Joy. Just let it go. No eternal value. No eternal value. You who practice lawlessness, depart from me. I never knew you. But we did all these great things. Did you not notice? Did you not see me working in Sunday school? I mean, really? I hate kids, but I was working in there. Did you miss it? No. Those are the things. But I never asked you to work in Sunday school. Because I know you don't like kids. And so I'm not going to put you in a place that's not the best place for you. You went ahead and did that on your own. Don't blame me on that. I never knew you, he would say. And I got to ask us, do we know Christ? Are we prepared for that day? Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men for this. That fear of the Lord, that awe of the Lord, that love of the Lord. Because we know this, we want to persuade men to walk with him. But we are well known to God, and I also trust that we are well known in your consciences. We know that God knows us, and we trust that you know us enough to know that what we're telling you is true, is what he's saying to the Corinthians here. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but we're giving you opportunity to boast on our behalf, to boast on our behalf. We do not have to sing our own praises. Isn't that great? Because it sounds so much better when it comes from someone else. Doesn't it? Well, I don't think they noticed that I was really good this time when I shared. Boy, did you notice how good I was on that? Yes. No, I missed that one. But he says they're giving us opportunity for them to boast on us. Because they've seen us walking with the Lord. They've seen us walking through challenges. They've seen us walking through a place in the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. They've seen how we respond differently from those who are in the world. And they boast on you, God, because of that. Because they know where we get our strength. They know where our hearts are at, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart, those who have no compassion in their heart. They can give just, there have been times I've sat and I've listened to someone teach and it was right on. What it was just, you know, the 3 points. There was laughter at that time. You didn't lose interest at that time. Everything was, oh, yep, raise the voice a little bit. Sounded great. But everything in me said, their heart's not in the right place. It's a gift of discernment. That's what God gives us. But knowing, you can tell that. You can tell when someone's heart is not in it. And they're there for appearance sake, and appearance sake only. And so it wasn't Daniel, and it wasn't Stephen, but it was Paul who said that by the way you've seen us live, you know the difference. You know that there is no difference when we're in your house or when we're teaching. Who we are is who we are, because we can't be anything else. And so he tells them that they can give an answer to those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, if we are crazy, we are crazy for the Lord. Or if we are sound of mind, it is for you. I am crazy for the Lord. I'm telling you, I am crazy for the Lord. I have done some of the craziest things that God has told me to do. I never expected to be a participant in certain things that I have done since I've known the Lord. But man, if we're of sound mind in the midst of it, it's all for you, so that you can look and you can say, yep, that's a crazy woman for the Lord, and I want to be just like her. Don't you? I hope so. For the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ compels us, because we judge this thus, that if one died for all, then all were dead. All had died. If one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. And those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. For him who died and rose again. 1 John 4:9. 1 John 4:9 in here. What a precious scripture this is. 1 John 4:9, not 5:9, because that didn't make any sense. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God loved us with no strings attached, shouldn't we love one another with no strings attached? Out of a pure heart? Now, when you, I get the sense that someone is thinking, yeah, but you don't know about that person. I can't love him, her, them. I can't. I don't have it in me. And you're right, you don't. And I don't either. But I can love them with the love of God. And it says that if I don't love them, how can I say that I love God? Because God loves all so much that he gave his life for our sins. So much that he laid down his life. He died when we were dead in our sins so that we didn't have to stay there. He died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. No longer living for ourselves. Let's die to ourselves. Let's die to ourselves and allow the Lord to live through us. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, that is, that we came to him when we were still in the flesh, yet now we know him, we don't know him that way anymore. Therefore, my favorite verse in the entire Bible, I'm telling you, this is one of my favorites. Today, it is my very favorite. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, we are a new creation. New creation. I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm not what I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. That I am confident of this very thing, that Christ in me, he is, I am a new creation because I am in Christ. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. They've passed away. They're gone. We talk about people as, well, they passed away. Let's talk about those old things the same way. They're dead. Let's let it go. Let it go. And move forward. All things have become new. And I have to ask us the question, are we in Christ? Are you in Christ? Have those old things passed away? Are you a new creation? Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry. And look at what the ministry is, reconciliation. Do you not love the opportunity to bring two people together that are not getting along? Do you? You see them, they're such good friends, but they're fighting again. They're fighting and they're not getting along, and you have a part in bringing them together, being that peacemaker. God gave us that. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, but not just with another person. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation with God. We can be reconciled to God. Ah, a ministry. We all have a ministry. I don't have a ministry. I work at In-N-Out Burger. I don't have no ministry. Yes, you do. No matter where you live, no matter what your work is, no matter who you're married to or not married to, no matter what the situation, we all have a ministry of reconciliation to God, that ministry of reconciliation to God. And then he goes in verse 9 and he explains that. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What is that? We can share with others what it means to be reconciled to God. How exciting is that? When I get a new gift, when I get something special, man, I want to share it with other people. Maybe not a box of chocolates, but you know, most of the good things that I get, I want to share with others. I've got the greatest thing in the world, the ministry of reconciliation. Why do I keep it to myself? Oh, Romans 3:25-24. Did we read that already? No, I don't think so, because it's not written in the right place if we did. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by what? By his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. By faith, by grace you have been... Somebody start me out here. By grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That grace that he pours out on us. And thank you so much, and I really should memorize that better. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? Now, an ambassador for the United States goes and lives in another country and represents what Americans are. That's a worry all its own. But another ambassador from France comes over and lives in the United States, and he represents to us what the French are. We look at them and we say, those people are like that. We are ambassadors for Christ. And people look at us and they say, oh, that's what Christ is like. That's what we are, ambassadors for Christ. That people would see in us something of the living God, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. For Christ's sake, be reconciled to God. For Christ's sake, do it for the Lord. Be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Be reconciled to God. Now, I've got to say, you know, if you're here at Bible study tonight, you probably have been reconciled with God. You probably are in Christ. I assume that, and I have learned that we are to assume nothing. Because God knows where our hearts are at. And he is the one who wants us to be reconciled to him. And I have to ask, are there some in here? And you don't have to raise your hands or anything, but have you prayed that prayer? And you know what I'm talking about, that prayer that says, God, would you come and live in my heart? Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you cleanse me, Lord, from all unrighteousness? Help me to live my life for you. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising again that I can have life eternal. Help me to live my life for you. Have you prayed that? Is there a time in your life where you became reconciled with God and you found yourself in Christ? Only you can answer that. That's between you and God. And so, Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you have reconciled us, that you have loved us with an everlasting love. Father, it's that loving kindness that draws us in. We cannot deny it, Lord. You have loved us more than we could ever deserve, more than we could ever imagine. You've loved us first. How can we not love you? And Lord, as we move on into this book of 2 Corinthians, and we grow more in what you want us to learn, Lord, never let us forget that it is that point in the letter where Paul gets really serious with them. He's no longer defending themselves, but he's saying, be reconciled to you, Lord. Be reconciled. Be in right standing with you. Father, I thank you that we are living in a day that is like no other. Lord, that we're living in a time when we know that you could come at any second for us. And Father, we don't want you to find us somewhere doing something that we'd be ashamed of. And so, Lord, keep us in the love of Christ. Keep us walking with you, Lord. Help us to throw off the works of the flesh, anger, bitterness, lying, all those things that are works of the flesh, Lord, you have told us to put them off and put you on. Lord, put them off like an old coat that is worthless. Take it off, throw it to the side, and put on that salvation. Put on the righteousness of God. Help us, Lord. Give us the strength that we need to do that. And Lord, And when the gals get into their small groups, I pray, God, that you would anoint their time in such a way, Lord, that they walk out of here tonight thinking, man, that's the best time I've had yet. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. And Lord, I thank you for freedom. Freedom, Lord. Thank you. We honor you. We love you. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.